teach the participant about the church history through the lens of the spiritual formation. I never heard of it before. Through my academic training, seminary training, all spiritual formation was I learned was related to pastor caring. But he connected the church history through the lens of the spiritual formation. It was very eye-opening. As of now, I'm still processing what I learned, and sooner or later, good things will be coming out of me, hopefully. And I had a great time in San Francisco, top of all the lesson, and then filled by the Holy Spirit through the lesson and through the interaction with the many priests there. It is not just for the Methodist persons, but is the Catholic persons too, for rejuvenated your spirit in the presence of God in a personal life and in a professional life. And in addition to the lesson, intellectual and spiritual formation lessons that I learned and practice, one of the things I really appreciate was the weather in San Francisco. No snow, no shivering, and it was sunny almost every day. And then the food was given from the retreat center, and it was so perfect. But on the way back, and I got a call from one of the members in the church saying that, "Sonny, watch out. You're going to be welcomed by the snow." It is, "All right, what's new about it? I am so anxious to be welcomed by snow." And this lady who called said that, "You know, it is more than welcome. You will be overwhelmed by the welcoming of the snow." It is, "All right, I'm going to be ready. I am spiritual filled, and I'm ready to face whatever comes up on me." And then soon I got on the plane, and then the pilot made an announcement. "Due to the weather in Chicago, the flight will be delayed minimum 45 minutes, maximum, who knows?" So, okay, I pull out my laptop and I try to get myself busy and prepare the service and prepare other stuff. And finally, about an hour later, it took off. Soon I landed in Chicago O'Hara. Surely I was welcomed by the weather in Chicago, snowed. It was amazing. However, it's more than that. It's when my husband picked me up and came to the house. And since my husband was in Denver, Colorado to be with his parents who had an emergency surgery last week, and he had no time to clear out the snow on the driveway. And someone mentioned about what snow. I never learned that term and never heard that term in my life. And then I experienced what snow right up there. And then he was pulling in his car to the garage on the pile of snow. And his car was strong enough to push it in. And the following day, I had an appointment with someone in the church. And in the morning, I opened up the garage and I tried to pull out my car. My Mini got stuck. It was not going anywhere. So I pulled the gas in as much as I can, and he pulled me out. And I made an appointment. And then after that, I got home. I tried to pull in my car. It didn't go through well. So I had to park on the parkway, on the street, and try to clear out the snow. Wow, it was not shoveling the snow off the driveway. I had to have a hammer to crack it at all the icy stuff on the driveway. And it took me about 7 hours. Can you believe that? And my neighbor was so looking at me from their house, I believe. And then later on, 3 hours later, 4 hours later, they gathered up in my park driveway and tried to help me out. And that was the sign of love I experienced it. And then while I'm thinking about life in Chicago, I cannot think of anything but love. This coming Thursday is Valentine's Day. And then we talk about love. But at least once a year, we can practice our love. And then there is a story about a little guy. Well, actually, not the little guy, young guy who is handsome, and yet he is single. Somehow, the new girl was interested in him. So on Valentine's Day, he decided to dress up and try to be stand out from all of the places. He cleaned up himself so he can be attractive by someone. And so he cleaned it up. He went to bar. And then he walked into the bar, and he was sitting at the table. And he noticed that one of the fashionable lady was staring at him. And then he felt so flattered. So he turned, and he decided to approach her boldly. And he approached her, like this. "Lady, you are so beautiful. And I will do anything for you with the 20 bucks. And but one condition, you needed to say your wish in three words." And this lady was kind of astonished by his approach, and she thought of for a while, "For Valentine's Day, what should I ask for from this stranger that looks handsome and willing to do whatever?" And she said, finally, "Clean my house. Here is a 20 bucks. Valentine's Day, you can ask for something because of love. You are able to spot someone in your life. You can be, this person can be your spouse, this can be your pet, or this can be your children. I do believe that you have a Valentine in your life. This coming Thursday, I am encouraging you to do something about the Valentine's. And give your Valentine, be the Valentine's. I do believe that you become a husband and wife because of the you first notice that your spouse exists on the earth. And you spot with the love and passion to invite this person to your life. And then have you noticed your wife and husband exist right next to you? Do you notice that your children exist around you? During this busy time, probably you are having a hard time to find the time to appreciate and show your love. Especially from the Asian culture, they are very not good at expressing their love to their loved one. Son called his mom so often, but he rarely said, "I love you, mom." And the first time he said when he was in college, and "Mom, I love you." And do you know what Song's mom said? Is there something wrong? And then after that, he decided not to say it. But since his parents are aging, and he learned that how often I said, "I love mom, I love you," and those words got practiced on. So he decided to say, "I love mom." And then at this time, since the son's parents got used to hear me saying, "I love you, mom," and "I love you, dad." And nowadays, son's mom said, "I love you too." Love is a practice. Being noticed, each other's existence in our life, and then a response to the presence is the first beginning of the Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, it is all about Christianity. Christianity is all about Valentine's Day. God showed his love for us through his begotten son. And today's passage is all about a love relationship. Oftentimes, the Gospel Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11 is preached on the miracle, gathering, catching the fish. The person who never caught the fish, but they caught the fish because they obey. That was the common message, the preaching message we heard at the pulpit. And also, this passage is often seen as God called first disciple through Jesus' presence. Calling it, even as our Bible, if you open it up, the Bible, Gospel, Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, it is titled, "Jesus Called the First Disciple." But today, and I would like to shed a different light into it. And according to the church calendar, today is a Transfiguration Sunday, which means before Jesus walked into the Passion journey, he transfigured himself in the presence of God and trying to be ready to face his faith in the in God. Let's jumping into our passage for today in Gospel Luke chapter 5. If you are able, please open it up. We are in this passage, Gospel Luke chapter 5. We are still in a beginning stage of Jesus' ministry. He was baptized in the Jordan River, which is a kind of a source of water for the Galilee, the Sea of the Galilee. He was baptized there. Do you remember the passage from the baptismal of the of Jesus, the second Sunday of January? Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, which is sourcing the water to the Galilee. And then after he was baptized, he was led into the desert, and he was tempted by the evil. And through the baptism, he was being notified where he was acknowledging his existence in his community as a son of God. But right after he was recognized, he was led into the desert and recognized by the devil, the spirit of evil. And he overcome this temptation, and he returns to the Galilee again, the place that he ministers, he was baptized. He shared the word of God there, and he was very well received. After that, he moved on to the Nazareth, the hometown where Jesus was brought up. But he was rejected there. And then after being rejected, he had decided to move on to the other Galilee again to recuperate it from the rejection in his hometown. And he performed some miracles there. And now he's just about to get into the public ministry. This is where we are, that the context of the Gospel, Luke chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, I would like to highlight three things in there. First, let's read it, verse 1 through 3. Gospel Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 3. It's on the screen, and you can read it from your Bible too. Let us read it together. Ready? Go. On day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him, and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belongs to Simon, and asked him to put out a little fish. People from the boat. Here, Jesus was teaching along the shore of the lake Gennesaret. Gennesaret is another name for the Galilee, Sea of the Galilee. And there was apparently quite a crowd following him, and they were crowding around him. Simple way to say it, at the Sea of the Galilee, and there is a crowd of the people following Jesus. But at the shore, there is Simon and his partner, is cleaning the nets and clear out his equipment after he came back from the fishing, caught nothing. And here, big crowd on this side, and they're busy in listening to the word of God, busy in participating in the ministry. But right at the corner of the same area, Simon, the fisherman, was so worn out, because he worked all night, caught nothing. He was discouraged. He couldn't do anything but just clean it up, and so tired. He wanted to clean up the debt first and go home and rest for the night and for the day, and so he can come back and go on a fishing. Jesus did not neglect him there, even though he had a big crowd. But he walked into this guy's and got on another boat. And then ask Simon, pull out your boat a little bit farther outside so I can preach, I can share the word of God. Think of this moment. You are so worn out. And Jesus came to you and asking you to do something you just finished with. And yet, Simon had a public pressure right here. Everybody was looking at him. How he's going to respond to the Jesus call to pull out these boats. Because at the time, many people were following him, hunger to listen to him. But Jesus was leading these people to Simon and asking Simon to use his boat for him to preach the gospel. Probably if you and I are over Simon, in that sin, you can feel the tension in here. You are tired. All week you work. And you move your kids around, giving the ride to places to place. You have a family obligation to fulfill. And also you have your own job, the job obligation. And from the morning to night, your schedule has been so filled up. And yet, you got a call from Sonny, being asked, would you be willing to do certain things? Would you be coming? Especially after church, during the week, to be honest, I do make a call. Believe it or not, many people get a call from me to remind them they are being missed. Not that I wanted to give them a pressure, but some people get a pressure out of my call. I know that. I try not to give them that impression, but I just wanted to give them an impression that they are being missed, because I really do miss them. But it's that some people do get uncomfortable to get a call. Simon Peter, probably he was uncomfortable to get a call from Jesus to move on to his boat and give him a ride. When he got, because of the public pressure, he got on the boat and then gave Jesus a ride. I don't think that he was interested in listening to Jesus preaching or teaching and attending the Bible study, because he was so tired. He was so busy. All night he worked. And even he tried to finish it up, his work, to clean up the net for next day's work. But he decided to obey because of the public pressure I believe he got. Sometimes you and I do certain stuff because of the people around us. I've been calling to the ministry. People are looking up to me. I needed to read the Bible more because I'm a pastor. Because I do not want to get up early in the morning, especially on Sunday morning, because it's morning. But I need to get up early in the morning because I'm a pastor. Public pressure is right there. And then the choir members, I know that you got here around 7:30 and 7:40 before the church got open, before Sonny gets in the church. You needed to warm up your voice. Sometimes you do not want to do it, and yet you know that. Your voice is counted by our choir director, Kathy Scott. You're going to get a call from her if you don't show up. The pressure is there. And your colleague, right, who are sitting right next to you, will say that, come on, I need your voice to carry my tune. Especially me, I needed to carry Holland's words to sit right next to me to carry the tune. Without her, I'm having a hard time trying to catching up and lip sync sometimes, if you notice. But the Simon Peter had a public pressures there, tried to catching up, and yet, because of a public pressure, he decided to pull out his boat, even though he was dragging his feet. Sometimes we are dragging our feet to come to church, dragging our feet to participate in the community program because of the public pressure. But Jesus was still got on this boat with Simon. Got on with our life, regardless we want it or not. Because he noticed you, your presence. Many people are important, but more than that, one person like you and me is important for him. Because of that, God sent his begotten Son to die for us and save for us. At the boat, Jesus was teaching, And if you remember from the Bible study or some other place, the Sea of Galilee is a kind of arch. And then when he pulled out the boat, he automatically created amphitheater at the Sea of the Galilee. People were standing out there, and then people are looking at him. And then when people were so close, he is not able to see all of it at once. He was like needed to be seen by everyone. So at the boat, he taught. Regardless Simon wants it or not, he had to sit down there and listen whatever he had to say. Probably during his message, he was rolling his eyes and rolling his finger. How long are you going to be talking? I'm tired. I need to go home. Probably so. But after he was finishing his teaching, he asked, Simon, why don't you go farther outside and cast in your net? That is called the Simon noticed Jesus as a master, that moment. Verse 4 and 5, let's read it, verse 4 and 5 of chapter 5 of the Gospel of Luke. Let us read it together. Go. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for the catch. Simon answered, Master, you've worked hard. Because you said so, I will do it. I don't know what you are leading me into, but because you said so, I do believe that by sitting right next to Jesus while Jesus was teaching, he heard something, and he heard about the miracle he performed before he got on his boat. Probably he heard how awesome God was to the life of the people and to him. Somehow his heart got moved and he decided to listen to him. Because you said so. You carpenter, you do not know anything about fishing, but I know that something is happening in your life. I know that something is happening in the life of others through the message you proclaim. Because I sense the power of your word and a ministry. Because you said so. I will do whatever you are saying. Sometimes we do certain things because God says so. Especially when we were young, we do things because our mommies tell me to do so. Our daddy tell me to do so. It is not always bad. Jesus was telling Simon, pull out. And it requires not just a presence. This time he was asking Simon participate in the story. And he did what he said because he trusts that. After that, you and I know the story, how it ends. They gather up amazing fish. So-called, someone said, 153 fish they caught. I don't know what this good number about it. Some people are so into the number, giving the meaning to the number. But to be honest, I do not care that much about it. Many of the fish is fish. And sometimes I'm not a big fish eater. And two fish is a big fish. And some people, like some, 5-10 fish is not enough fish. And so it depends. Many fish, he said. You need to interpret how many fish is enough fish. And you needed to go for it. He caught it. They caught it in enough fish. After that, he confessed that before that he was a master, he called Jesus master. Now he's telling Jesus, the Lord. Verse 6 through 11, after he caught all the many fishes, and then Jesus is telling him, come and follow me. I will make a fishers of men. Simon said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, you are the Lord. I'm a sinner. How can it be? And then the Lord said, just follow me. Follow me. You will make a great deal out of this calling. Who will know you are being here? who will know that you've been here on the earth, in this congregation, in your family, in your community. When Simon Peter responded, from the beginning it was a reluctance following. But when Simon Peter acknowledged the presence of God in his life and engaging him, engaging Jesus in his life, his perspective has been changed. You and I know that Simon Peter, how he became the rock of the church later on when he followed him. He will be noticed by everyone. Everyone knows that he's been here on the earth. How about you? Do you want it to be just birth, grow, eat, and go to bathroom, take a shower, and die? That's the lifestyle you would like to pursue? God is calling you and me consistently here. Reluctantly, we might respond to his call because of the pressure around us. Who will know you've been here? Are you making some differences in your children's lives, in the church, in the community, instead of doing because you said someone says so or because you are doing habitually? The choice is yours and mine. Who will know you have been here? God wants to know, definitely, how awesome legacies you can live in the life of others for the sake of God's love. Let's pull our boats and cast our net to catch fish by following Jesus' instructions.